convenience is not an excuse to do wrong things.
Good lesson. It's not about convenience, right? It's not necessarily about what might seem to be easy to me or convenient. It's not about I'll choose whatever route I can take that has the least amount of obstacles that would inconvenience me or make it difficult on me. Do you think about that in the church today? When the preaching is done in such a way as to try to appease people and to make it easy on people and for people to not get their feathers ruffled simply because I want people to be comfortable. I want this to be a convenient experience for them, an easy. If we make it as though people assume it's difficult, they're never going to do it. Well, you know what? Being a Christian is difficult. That's just the reality of it. It's not easy. And God never promised to remove all the obstacles, but God had said, this is where you're going to worship me. This is how you're going to worship me. And they were under obligation to God to do it precisely that way. You agree with that?
Amen.
We're under obligation today to worship God precisely as God has dictated that we worship Him. He's God and I'm not and you're not. Right? And so that's what He did. That was the sin that He did. And as a result of that, Israel had not one good king. Now that doesn't excuse all the other kings that were going to come after Jeroboam. And that's not to say that every king did everything wrong. That every, you know, they were void of the ability to do what was right. They chose the path that they took. When it comes to Judah, those kings chose the path that they took. And they had consequences to each one of these. What was going to be the consequence of Israel? You're going to be taken into captivity. Judah's going to be taken into captivity. Israel, not going to return. Judah will return. Israel is not going to return as Judah and be restored. They're going to be taken off into Assyrian captivity, which we'll look at in another study, another session. But as a result of their evil doing. And here's another point that I want you to get. Is God had already told them. God is not going to stop reminding them of what they need to do. He did it through the period of the judges. He's going to do it even through the reign of all these kings. I want you to come with me to the book of Jeremiah. And let's notice this because this is relevant to Israel and it's relevant to Judah. As you're turning there, I think about James chapter 1 when it talks about, let a man not say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. The tendency is sometimes on our part when we succumb to temptation or we fall or we do something we shouldn't have done or whatever the case may be, who do we start to blame? Well, yeah, either we blame God, we blame others, or we try some way to remove the guilt from or the fault from self and place it on someone else. Well, if God made me this way, or God did this, no, whatever. The Bible doesn't teach that. Yes, God knows all things. But again, God's desire is for man to be in a right relationship with Him through the Old Testament and the New Testament as well. And He's going to tell them over and over about what their condition is and about what they're to do about it and what the consequences are for all of those things. And we'll study Jeremiah when we get to it. But who was Jeremiah sent to? Who did he talk to? Who was his message to? Say it again. Jeremiah's message was to Israel and Judah, right? Now, some of these are going to be specifically to Judah. Some of the prophets are going to be specifically to Israel. Some of them are going to have a message that would apply to Israel and Judah. And we'll talk about those more so when we get to the books of the prophets. But I want you to notice Jeremiah 7 and then verse 13. Jeremiah 7:13. And now because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but you answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house which is called by my name wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Specifically in the context of this, he's talking about the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And this is what I'm going to do to Judah as I've done to their brethren. But the point that I want you to see from Jeremiah 7 is that God said that he had risen early and morning and had warned the people, but they would not hear. 11 times that I could find in the book of Jeremiah, he makes this statement, rising early and warning the people. In Jeremiah 7, verse 25, since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, we've studied that, came forth out of the land of Egypt, and to this day I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily, rising up early and send to them, yet have they not hearkened unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. You would think that people would do better than the generation before, and that they would do better in light of the examples that went on before, but not Israel's condition. He says they did worse and worse. Can't blame God. He said, listen, I didn't just put my law on tables of stone. I didn't just write it. I didn't just have men write it down so that it could be rehearsed in the ears of the people and taught to the people. I didn't only do that, but I sent my messengers, my prophets, teaching them, warning them early. And they still would not do it. Now notice Jeremiah 11 and in verse 7. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers into the day that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. Yet they obey not, nor incline their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. In Jeremiah 25 and then verse 3. We're going to read through these because I really want you to be impressed with the point that God had over and over not only made provision for them, but had warned them time and time again. Jeremiah 25:3. From the 30th year of Josiah the son of Amon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me. And I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord has sent unto you all his servants of prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. And in chapter 26, verse 5. You might want to write these down in the notes section of your book. And if you didn't get them, then let me know and I'll put them on paper and give them to you. 26, 5. To hearken to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. 29 and verse 19. Because, and prior to this, he's telling them, you're going to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth. And here's the reason, verse 19, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. In chapter 32 and in verse 33. They have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. And in chapter 35 and in verse 14, the words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine or perform, for unto this day they drink none or obey their father's commandment. Notwithstanding I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened unto me. And in verse 15, I've sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early, send to them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you unto your fathers, but you have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. You'll be established in the land. He told them that. You'll be established in the land. You'll have these blessings on the stipulation, on the condition that you obey. But you didn't do that. You didn't obey me. Then chapter 44 and then verse 4. 44 and verse 4. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Verse 6. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. You can't read those verses and miss the point that God's desire was for them to do what was right. That God's desire was for them to have the land and to enjoy the land. But they rebelled over and they thought that their way so many times was better than the Lord's way. Or if we do this, things are going to be better. This is really what we... Be careful what we ask for, by the way. Be careful what we desire, because in reality, the grass may not be greener on the other side. Right? There's so many lessons that we can learn from the period of these kings. And again, as a result of what Jeroboam did, the lives of the rest of these kings of Israel are going to be summed up mainly by saying that he departed not from the ways of the sin of Jeroboam, who made Israel to sin. Judah is not without sin. It's going to have some good kings and some bad kings, but as a result of their transgression, God is going to give them over to their enemies, and they're going to go into captivity as well. We've got just a few minutes. Have any thoughts or comments about any of these things?
We're talking about Bethel there a while ago. How easily did they, Jeroboam, sway them? You know, geographically, he picked those places, I'm sure. But the argument he could have made for Bethel, Abraham sacrificed there. Samuel had ruled from there. I mean, he knew what he was doing in picking a place that he could easily sell to them as a place for worship.
Good point. All these things are examples for us and occasions for us to learn all these valuable lessons. You know, when we think about today, individuals that we study with say, you know what, I just can't see that there is but one church of which I must be a member of. I cannot see that I have to do this, that, or the other in order to be saved or to be faithful to God. Well, there may be a lot of things that we don't understand or that we initially don't see or we don't think is right. But this Word says the same thing to you as it does to me. Right? And what God is telling you to do, He's telling me to do, generally speaking now. And so, we need to value that and appreciate the lessons that we learned. Appreciate the lessons we learned not only from these evil kings that we're going to talk about, but then the good kings of Judah when we get there. Think about why they were categorized as a good king. What did they do? Some of these kings that we're going to read about in Judah didn't do everything right. Some of them took a lot of good steps in the right direction, but they didn't take enough steps, right? I think about Josiah. He was a good king of Judah. But it doesn't mean that everything that he did was right, or that he did everything that he probably should have done. So there's a lot of things that we can learn about. that's more than just an overview of these books of which we're going to find these kings. But again, I wanted us to pull over to the side and take the time here, because we'll better appreciate the message of the prophets when we understand what the condition of the kings were and what the condition of the people was. You know, oftentimes when you want to know what the condition of the people is or what it was, oftentimes you can go to the leadership, and that's a pretty strong indication of what you're going to find among people. Think about that in our world today, in the political sphere. Well, the Bible says about when the vilest of men are exalted or put in power and so forth. A lot of times that's the direction that the people are going to go in. So leadership is important. Israel's learning that, and they're going to continue to learn that lesson. Any thoughts or comments about that? If you didn't get any of the sheets, if, whatever the case may be, or if you want those references for that we talked about in Jeremiah, you put your name down on a piece of paper, I'll get those to you. I'll put these charts in the back that you can pick those up. I appreciate your good attention.